Hello and welcome to Nerdy Boys and Things. We are your hosts. I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
This is your weekly Nerdcast where we give you an overview of everything nerdy that happened during the week in movies, comics, television, and news. We tell you what it all means and why you should be excited about it. Yay! Spoiler warning, if you have not watched the latest in nerd television, including Gotham, Arrow, Flash, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and other various things, pause this podcast, go watch the shows, and join us again for the fun. Along with that, warning, explicit content will be on this podcast, may not be suitable for all listeners.
Yes, yes, yes. Welcome to the show, everybody.
Hello!
Hello! there was no Gotham this week, as you guys may know.
Yes.
But there was everything else.
Yes.
And next week there will be nothing, except for Supergirl. So,
see.
Exciting things going on here, if you couldn't tell.
Yeah!
So, some updates for you guys on our website. You can now see everything that we've graded this year on all the seasons. And be like, hey, why do you think this episode was better than that episode? You guys are crazy! We could be like, yeah, you right.
But no, it can spark some very interesting conversations. You know, people can go back and, you know, watch those episodes and, you know, kind of just start a discussion like, well, why do you feel like episode 3 was better than episode 17 or something?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep. So,
that's kind of the idea behind it.
Indeed.
Indubitably.
I think that's your favorite thing to say. Indubitably.
Maybe.
So, without further ado, let's get into some of this news here.
Yeah.
So, Tom Holland pretty much came out this week and said he has no clue what Captain America Civil War is about. He's only read his parts, pretty much. And he wants to go in more as an audience member and not someone who was an insider. But that's just not true. You are an insider. And it worries me if he doesn't know what the script is about, or he doesn't know what the movie is about, you know, but he knows what his lines are, because that means that he doesn't play a very large role in the movie.
Well, I don't know. it's like mixed feelings about it. It's like it could go well or whatever, but probably not going to go too well for young Tom Holland. I don't think this is a very good move for him, you know, kind of telling people that he doesn't know about it too well. Or, like, I mean, it doesn't really even say that, you know, he's planning on, like, trying to get to know what that storyline's about. He's just like, well, I've been working on it for a week or two or something.
So, my thought process initially was that when I read it, I thought, oh, so he doesn't know what Civil War is about, which is not what he's saying. He's saying he doesn't know what Captain America Civil War is about, which doesn't mean he doesn't know what the comic is about, but I'm willing to bet he doesn't. I know from what research he's done is he talked about watching the old Spider-Mans and getting, you know, he was inspired by previous Spider-Men, such as Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire. But as a fan, I think, you know, in general, we look for people who are dedicated to reading about the characters in the stories, not necessarily one actor's take on that character or one writer's take on that character. And I think the first thing I would have done if I wasn't a fan and I got cast for one of these movies is go pick up Civil War and read it. So that kind of to me, when I read this, my initial response was, this is horseshit. Like, you know, we've heard all these great things about Tom Holland, how great he is on set, how good he looks, and things like that. And to me, when he comes out and says, I don't know what it's about, it's horseshit. Like, you're either lying or you don't care enough. And either way, it's an issue for me.
I don't know if it's necessarily a thing about not caring, because it does say in this article that they did, I mean, I'm assuming the directors or the writers try to offer him a script, but he said no, that he has, like, a lot of interviews coming up, and
he doesn't want to spoil it, yeah.
So, I mean, I guess it's, like, a little understandable that he doesn't really want to read it until they start shooting, because then once they start shooting, or I mean, not shooting, but probably shooting his parts. I mean, you know what I mean?
Right.
They probably, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Well, I really don't have like a good response. Well, here's
the thing is, I understand that he wouldn't want to know what the script is about, and just do his parts and that's whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm curious to know if he had any interest in reading Civil War, the event, beyond, you know, this, which don't get us wrong, guys. This doesn't mean he's going to be a bad Spider-Man by any stretch. It just, you know, we like to see when they care enough to, you know, go the extra mile with the comic book research and things like that and kind of become part of the community and fandom, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, like, how harshly can you really judge this guy? Because, you know, just think about it, is, you know, they pretty much filmed, I'm guessing, like 95% at least.
I'm pretty sure.
They're pretty much done shooting. And how long ago did he finally get on the set, you know? Or, like, how long has he actually landed the Spider-Man part? And beyond that, you know, how long has Spider-Man actually been planned to be in this movie?
Well, we had this conversation last week where, you know, we talked about it, and when they were doing it, and I had argued, well, you know, they didn't have Spider-Man before, so they were probably planning around Black Panther or something.
Yeah.
I read recently that the Russo brothers said Spider-Man has always been plan A for this film. They've never planned on not having him. So, I mean, they've always planned on having him, but, you know, obviously you have to, once you get the rights to have him, you have to go through the process of, you know, getting an actor and getting him in there and all this stuff. So that takes time as well. And then a piece of news that came out like right after we finished podcasting last week was that his suit was going to contain either a lot or mostly elements of CGI.
I think we talked about that.
I think we talked about it after the fact, but we didn't talk about it on the podcast. I didn't see the article, but I read briefly, and it was just something the writers had said, but it didn't really say anything much. But my question about that is, does that mean we're getting Iron Spider?
I don't think necessarily that's not what that means.
Because I think it's very easy to do a Spider-Man suit without CGI, but when you add CGI to it, it makes me think Iron Spider.
Well, you think about it this way. I mean, sure, a professionally made one will look great, but a CGI one, you know, it's like, I'm pretty sure there's a suit that he is wearing that is Spider-Man-esque. And then, like, they're just adding, like, different CGI details to it, like the fine lining and, like, the web the web patterns on his suit, stuff like that, I really think is, like, what it's really coming down to. I don't know. I'm not really reading too much into it. I know you're kind of excited to know about that, but I it doesn't really make a difference for me.
Well, at first I didn't really think about it, and then when I started thinking about it, I was like, well, why would they have CGI? Like, I know they did the Green Lantern outfit all CGI and whatever, and I was kind of thinking about it, and then, like, the one thing that kind of jumped out at me is, well, the only thing that would require CGI like that is probably the Iron Spider suit.
So, I mean, that's a possibility for sure. I don't know. I'm just not really reading all that much into it, though.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, kind of back on the actual topic of Tom Holland and stuff, I just don't know if it's going to be the part that we want Spider-Man to be. You know, and who's to say that, you know, well, first off, let me say, I am the type of person, I do enjoy when the actors go and read the source material.
Mm-hmm.
Because when things don't go as planned for the actor, like, they just didn't do a good job, it's like, it's easy to point out why.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, if you probably would have read some of Spider-Man's stories, you probably would have done a much better job.
Right.
But, you know, it's like,
I mean,
we're just gonna have to wait and see.
Right, and if you really think about Spider-Man as the heart of everything, is really what he is, then you have to kind of you know, you have to do a lot of work in this movie to portray that. So that takes acting, writing, and, you know, knowledge of the character in general.
So, I think it's really, like, little to do with the writing. I mean, it's going to be, in like, terms of ratios, I really think it's going to be about 80% acting. It's really going to come off of how well he can act.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I really hope, like, this is not the movie to go get an up-and-coming kind of guy that, you just like, you know, well, I can see him as him, mm-hmm. and I hope he does well in our movie kind of thing. This is just not the movie to do that. I really, like, I don't know, like, the more I'm starting to think about it, it's like, it is scaring me that, like, he hasn't read anything. I don't know who Tom Holland is, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, oh, man, it's a lot of unknown factors for such a big movie.
Right. So, some not really news, but they want you to think it's news based on the headline. So it looks like Cate Blanchett is in talks to join Thor Ragnarok as one of the female leads. This is a report that Variety and The Hollywood Reporter offered conflicting reports on. The finality of the deal, and Marvel has not commented. This is just a rumor, guys, right now. She might be in talks, but as of right now, it's a rumor. But the headline is misleading, saying that they're enlisting her, which,
yeah,
to me, makes it sound like that she's already part of it. But Cate Blanchett, you guys might know, she's Galadriel. She's in a lot of things. She played Queen Elizabeth, all this stuff. So
I'm just curious to know maybe, like, who she'll be. Because all it says is Marvel wants to recruit a badass female. That's all it's really giving
us. Yeah, it looks like this is in response to Marvel claiming a couple weeks ago that they're looking to cast several women as Valkyries in the film. I don't think that Cate Blanchett will be cast as Valkyrie. I think she's too old for that, for that role specifically. But who knows?
I mean, who knows? Could we be looking? I mean, just kind of like based off like her hair. But you know, I'm just like, well, can you be? Can we already expect a she Thor?
The
woman Thor.
I don't think so. And if they do, it'd be the person who's supposed to be the female Thor, who's already in the movies. But that's all I'm gonna say, because you don't know who it is. But
well, now I'm pretty sure I can guess, because there's like three of them.
Well, yeah, we don't know how much we've seen her, but they would probably use the same female.
Interesting. So.
But yeah, just a rumor right now, but we'll see what happens.
I never did finish reading that series too. I got to issue like two or three or something like that, and then that's right around this time I stopped reading.
Yeah,
I should probably go back and read that.
It's a good series. So we have Doctor Strange concept art with Benedict Cumberbatch painted in the Doctor Strange outfit. What do we do this?
Go to hell.
They just want to put stuff out, honestly, guys. I think it's cool. You see, like, celestial stuff in the background that looks like a planet, and it looks like Benedict Cumberbatch in the outfit. But let's be honest, guys, it's just a picture.
Yeah. And at that, it's not even a real picture. It's a painted picture.
Yes.
So I really give, like, no fucks about that. Yes. So let's move on.
Yes. New Deadpool trailer coming on Christmas Day.
Oh, that's actually pretty exciting. I'm very excited for that, because the last trailer was so good.
Yes.
I mean, I think Deadpool's doing it quite right. I think a lot of these newer movies really need to take a step back.
Mm-hmm.
Something I've been wanting to talk about for a while. Just, like, in general, like, you know, it's just been happening a lot with, like, the Star Wars and everything else. They show so many trailers, it leaves, like, virtually nothing left to the imagination of what's going to happen in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Star Wars isn't the only one that's done it, you know what I mean? Like, Ant-Man, all that stuff. Like, they're overhauling their marketing with, like, you know, visuals and trailers and all this stuff. It's leaving basically little left to the imagination, like I said.
Yeah.
What Deadpool has been doing is, like, very different. They've been letting Ryan Reynolds go out in public with the suit.
They've essentially let Ryan Reynolds be the marketer of this campaign.
They essentially let him be a real Deadpool. Like, it's really cool.
Like, with the Halloween stuff that he did with the kids and everything.
Yeah, like, yeah, that stuff. I don't know. It's I really believe in this movie.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
I really can't wait to see what our next trailer has in store for us. I really hope that they don't, like, follow suit with the mass amount of trailers that everybody else puts out right before their movies.
Right, like Star Wars is doing right now.
Jesus, like, fucking 15 different trailers and
yeah.
shit.
Yeah, so ridiculous. Like, I swear, every other day there's a new TV spot for Star Wars, but if you guys are looking for this, want to see it on TV, it will air on Christmas Day during the NBA on ESPN, or you can just check back online, YouTube, all this stuff.
That is so random.
It is.
I really but like
Star Wars was attached to Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
So
was it? I don't even remember.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean,
all right. I guess.
Yeah, it makes sense to me, but we'll see. It's exciting. I'm excited for Deadpool. I think it's going to be great. So speaking of trailers and Fox, let's talk about the X-Men Apocalypse trailer that came out this week. What did you think?
I had very mixed feelings.
Okay.
Very, very mixed feelings. So, there was a chuckle fest at the end, for sure. Like, I thought it was so random that, like, okay, they're deciding to make Xavier bald finally. And, like, they made it seem as though it was some grand reveal. Like, I didn't know how to feel about it, so I just started laughing. Like, and I was just like, was that supposed to be, like, an important moment of some sort? Like, I don't know. I was a little confused by it. But that's not my only qualm with that trailer. Like, Apocalypse, I mean, he looks different for sure than that original concept art that we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
But he's still not really Apocalypse to me.
Right.
He looks nothing like it. And, you know, beyond that, it's just he's not larger than life than he's supposed to be. He is this larger than life being, not even, you know, mutant. He's like this being that's like nobody really knows too much about in X-Men. And it's really confusing to me because it's like, well, it's not that hard to make Apocalypse.
Well, let's get something straight. The first thing is Bryan Singer is not a comic book fan. Yeah. Bryan Singer does not read comic books.
I mean, all he had to do was like watch like the 1990s X-Men fucking cartoon. Mm-hmm. Like, are you guys serious? Like, in 1990 they could get that shit right, but you guys can't do it in 2015?
Right. And
like, you're fucking scumbag.
So I felt that this trailer was very mediocre.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I like Jean Grey. I like the X-Men. I like Cyclops. I like Jubilee. I like Nightcrawler. I like Angel. You know, like, but his Four Horsemen thing, that's fine. You can change it up however you want. You could have Psylocke and Magneto and Angel and whoever the fourth one was, Storm. You could have those as your Four Horsemen. That's fine. But, you know, I feel like this is falling into a trap that Spider-Man fell into. Spider-Man 1 and Spider-Man 2, very good. Spider-Man 3, too many characters, too many villains. So Amazing Spider-Man 2, too many characters, too many villains. This movie, they're introducing like 20 new mutants in this movie. And that's a big issue when it's like your third movie or something. Like, you're spending all this time introducing new characters or new concepts, and you know, you can really cut down on that. You don't need to become Marvel with their big expansive universe. They built that over years.
Yeah.
You know, and you guys are trying to do it in one movie, you know. I wonder if that's the trap they're falling into. I'm not sure. I mean, the movie can be great. I don't know based on the trailer, obviously, but that's what it seems like to me. They're just trying to do too much. And Jean Grey, Sophie Turner does not have a great American accent. I'll just say that.
Who?
The lady playing Jean Grey.
Oh.
But other than that, I mean, to me, this trailer was very mediocre. It doesn't get me excited.
I think Jean Grey is the one character I'm most excited about.
Yeah.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
Actually,
Nightcrawler.
Yeah. I was like, ooh, shit, there's Nightcrawler in this movie.
Yeah.
I was like, ooh. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, it built a little bit more hype for me, but so many things, I'm just like, oh, jeez, guys. Like, don't know.
I think the difference, too, is I kind of expected a little bit more, maybe, of this than you. Like, I kind of like Days of Futures Past, and I feel like this movie could have done a lot of good things. Whereas I know you were just, like, not even interested at all.
No, not really.
So, you know, like, the fact that they gave you something, it's like, okay, I can see. And then for me, it's like, well, you didn't really, you kind of met my expectations, so it's mediocre to me, you know?
Yeah.
But other than that,
I feel like we've had the opposite reaction. Like, I felt nothing for this. Like, I didn't really care. And then, like, all of a sudden, like, I feel like a little bit of hype for it, and then you were on the opposite spectrum where, you know, you're like, I really, really want to see, like, what this is going to be about. Now you're like, meh.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I thought that was a little funny.
Yeah. Hey, guys, we got some comic book news for you here.
Whoop, whoop.
So Marvel announced Civil War 2, which is going to be another event. It's going to be the follow-up to Mark Miller and Steve McNiven's massively successful crossover. And this time, Brian Michael Bendis and David Marquez are attached to write and draw the series. So that's very exciting. Based on what they've said, it's an entirely new and completely different story. They can't say much about it right now, but they can say that part of the reason that Civil War was so huge was because it spoke to the most pressing question of the day at that time. Outside of comic circles, the world took notice. Civil War 2 will do the same.
So, do you think...
I have more faith in Marvel right now because of what they said previously when we had this discussion, not about this, but a while ago, about when they were doing All New, All Different. They said it's not a reboot, and we said it is a reboot. But reading the books, it's not a reboot. It's a continuation just with new titles. So, yeah. Like, the new Thor is just a continuation of the same Thor story, just starting at number one again. Miss Marvel is the same thing, continuation. You know, you're in a new place, of course, because it's post-Secret Wars, which even Secret Wars, much different than the first Secret Wars, you know?
Yeah.
So, I have faith in Marvel with things like this, and I think Civil War 2 will do something similar. And I can't say it'll be better necessarily, but I hope it's good.
Here's my thing is, how do they pull off like a civil war with like the magnitude of what Civil War One did, you know, without having Steve Rogers as Captain America?
Right.
Because from what I'm reading and, like, from what, like, I've already kind of read myself, like, even before, like, everything changed, it's like I really didn't like, the new Captain America. I was like, I wasn't really too sold on it or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, I don't see that same level of conflict just based off of, you know, what...
Right.
What it was, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if Civil War 2 can carry on, basically.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure Marvel will do a great job with it, and I'm interested as well to know what issues that they're going to be talking about, really.
Right.
Like, what's going to create that fissure in the Avengers this time?
Yeah, so it looks like Axel Alonso goes on to say that it came about because he was discussing the upcoming Civil War movie with his boss, Dan Buckley, over lunch, and they pondered what issue or question would provide the fulcrum for a story of that scope today. It was a hypothetical conversation, but Axel took those seeds of that conversation to Brian Michael Bendis and Tom Brevoort, and they watered it down a little, and a story emerged that showed enough potential that they invited Dan, Joe Quesada, Mark Panossio, Nick Lowe, Steve, okay, a lot of people to give feedback. They grew that idea across several emails and eventually came to a point when Dan called it, you know what this is, right? This is Civil War 2. So that's how this came about. And it'll be spring 2016's event, so we'll see.
I'm not really sure if that really...
It doesn't explain what it's about at all.
Yeah, but just like how it kind of came about, and it's just like, I don't know if that really excites me for it exactly.
I hope it doesn't have anything to do with what Captain America, the comic, has been dealing with right now is, you know, like immigration and stuff.
Yeah, oh, it will. Oh, yeah. It will.
Anyway.
What, you know, kind of brings me to another thing I've been wanting to ask you. Like, have you been liking the Captain America run? Like,
oh, I dropped that title.
Yeah, like, I kind of figured that.
I dropped it after the first...
A lot of people said it wasn't that good at all.
Yeah, I couldn't get into it, especially with, you know, I just couldn't get into it. And I felt like it was a mediocre attempt to talk about real world issues, and it didn't succeed, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, my opinion is that Sam Wilson is not Captain America, even though he is. Like, to me, he's not Captain America. The first run on it actually was very good. He still wasn't Captain America then, but
yeah,
now it's more evident. He is just a Falcon, you know?
Yeah, yeah. He's for sure not Captain America, and Captain America stands for something,
mm-hmm.
and that's not what Sam Wilson provides. It's amazing how they've like single-handedly kind of destroyed a character. And Marvel doesn't do that too often. You know what I mean? They don't make mishaps like that. And I think really trying to push Sam Wilson into a position of major importance. Like, I think, and you know what it really was, is like it's dealing with like race issues and stuff. It was, people want to see more, I don't know how to put it. Like, I guess like people of color in better positions in comic books and stuff like that.
And that's not the bothersome part, honestly. And I don't know. It might sound bad, but it's like before Sam Wilson was Captain America, I liked Sam Wilson. But now, you know, that all of these like other opinions are coming out, and he has these hard lines of opinions that aren't representative of what Captain America was, because he's different in that way. To me, he's a very polarizing character. You either love him or you hate him. And yeah, it's like, it's fine to make that kind of change. But Captain America didn't care who you were or what you were. He stood up for America. He stood up for what America represented at the time, you know? Yeah. And that's kind of what he represented. And he represented the people, not the government.
Yeah. So, whereas Sam Wilson is very different in that way.
Sam Wilson represents what he believes, not what is owed as a right to citizens and things like that. He believes what... He fights for what he believes instead of that, which is fine. That's a perfectly okay thing to do. But under the mantle of Captain America, I don't agree with it.
Yeah.
So.
Neither do I.
All right. So Frank Miller weighed in on Netflix's Daredevil on Elektra.
Yeah.
And he pretty much said that it's not her. And pretty much his point was that he created Elektra in 1984,
mm-hmm.
Killed her off.
Yep.
And when he killed her off, he was under the impression that Marvel would never bring her back. 12 years later, 1990s, Marvel brought her back. So Frank Miller is under the impression that any version of Elektra anywhere is not Elektra to him. So I found this interesting in the way that it makes me want to discuss, you know, when someone like him creates a character under Marvel or DC or one of the big companies where it's not creator-owned, and they make a decision like that, should the company respect that decision and follow their wishes, or is it theirs to do with what they want now?
So I want to first off saying I have a lot of respect for Frank Miller. You know, he pretty much, you know, made Daredevil really what he is today. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I really love Daredevil, so, you know, I have a lot of respect for him. But, like, on this hand, it's like, dude, stop being such a bitch. You know what I mean? Like, it's honestly, like, what it comes down to. It's like, you know, he's like, that's mine and I don't want to share, basically, is, like, exactly how I'm receiving it. That the fact is, like, dude, you're in a multi-million dollar business and you really think you have control over what the fuck they're going to do? When you created it, yes, you're the creator, but Marvel owns those rights. You do not own those rights specifically.
Mm-hmm.
You are the creator, and that's it. You know? That's it. Like, it'd be like, okay, you know, I don't even know how to explain it, but, like, it's, dude, get over it. It's Elektra. It's their take on Elektra.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And even the way, like, it comes across, because when they asked him about Elektra's addition to the show, he said, they can do whatever they want. That is not her. And it really is kind of sounds like he's defensive about it, you know?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Like, and that's the thing is, over the years, over many, 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 many years of comic books, you've gotten different versions of the same characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you can call it growth, you can call it inconsistency, you can call it whatever you want, but at the end of the day, that's what you get. You know, and you can kind of say, well, this isn't what the character is, so I'm just going to ignore that storyline. That's fine. That's your own personal thing. But with Elektra and things like that, I think it's important to kind of like, if you feel that strongly towards a character, write about them in your own book. Like, Frank Miller has many opportunities. He's a great writer and he's well respected. He can go work for Image and do creator owned work. And I'm sure he's already doing it. So, There's not really... Like, I guess in 1982, you didn't have that option, maybe. But yeah. Image has always been around. Dark Horse has been around. Like,
yeah. I mean, maybe not well known, but you know, it's the avenue you took, and you really have to lay with the decisions you make in life sometimes. And, and you know, it really just comes down to you, dude, you need to get over it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, when you've had like the kind of opportunities Frank Miller's had, it's just time to kind of move on from that. So moving on to our next piece of news, The Flash adds actor Tone Bell as Iris West's new boss.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, not much to talk about there. The article is actually very short anyway, so I guess we'll see how that goes. So, Gotham adds a new character. They add the OC star Melinda Clark as a new character, a character they created. Her name is Grace Van Dahl. She was created specifically for the show, and they described the character as a desperate for money and power person. And she will be in episode 15,
Okay, so she'll be, like, every other...
Every other female character ever.
Okay, cool.
I'm just kidding. But, yeah.
No, I mean, just, like, every other character in that show ever. Like, there's not really much to go on, guys. I mean...
Yes. People in Gotham are hungry for money and power, because there is money and power to be had in Gotham. We get it. Okay.
That is all.
So... Here we are here with this Legend of Tarzan trailer. Lots of CGI. Alexander Skarsgård, he's cool. But one big problem, Margot Robbie, I think, is playing Jane. I couldn't really tell, but it looked like her. Whoever it is. Jane cannot be American. this is like a huge thing for me. It's very important to the character for them to be British, because they're colonists.
Yeah.
You know, like, that is a very important aspect of the character. But that's not even the biggest problem. There are all sorts of things weird with this trailer. The thing is, it's never going to live up to the Disney cartoon.
It's, not at all. Like, this movie is going to suck total big black dick.
Yeah. So,
oh man, you're gonna suck some Tarzan wing.
Yeah. If you guys are interested in this, go see it. It comes out July 1st of next year. David Yates is directing it. He's also doing J.K. Rowling's. He did Harry Potter, and he's doing Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, which is going to be November 18th, 2018. So if you want to see those, go see those.
There's so much to still talk about, though. You know, it's like just. So weird, like, first off, it's, like, you know, with Jane not being British, and then it's, like, there was never, like, jungle people in Tarzan. That was really awkward.
Yeah, it's, like, does this now take place in Central America?
And then, like, fucking his hair was all perfect and shit, and I was just, like, that's awkward. I'm pretty sure, like, Tarzan had dreads. I'm just like, this is super awkward.
Or at least, like, tangle it up with some weeds or something.
Yeah, like, something. Like, dude, he don't got no damn conditioner on that island. Like, what the fuck? There was, like, no, what was it? Oh, fuck, dude, I can't remember. Was it, like, a leopard?
Oh, yeah.
Leopard, right?
It was a leopard.
I forgot what. It was either a leopard or a tiger, one of those two.
Jungle Book was a tiger. I think this was a leopard.
Yeah. But it was, like, you know, the one that killed his family, and then, like, he has his, like, big thing or whatever. Like, it doesn't show really any interactions of, like, the civilization, the ape civilization that they live in with, like, the king ape or whatever. And then, like, you know, it just doesn't show anything. And it's, like, all these inaccuracies. I'm just super upset with this movie right now.
And all you Tarzan fans that were alive in the 1980s, I know it is the worst thing ever. Phil Collins is not doing the music for this. That was a major part of the cartoon, you know, is Phil Collins' music. So
this is by far going to be the worst movie ever made.
Okay. I think that's arguable, but... We'll see. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2 has a trailer. What did you think of this trailer?
Action. CGI.
Bebop and Rocksteady.
Yeah, you know. I'm pretty excited
Casey
for it.
Jones went all badass. That was cool.
Casey Jones did go badass. I just don't like Stephen Amell as Casey Jones. I just can't picture it. Maybe if he had, like, longer hair or something.
The only thing we've ever seen him do is be Arrow.
Well, yeah,
so
that's true.
It's like, that's who he is, you know, to us.
Well, it's not even that. It's just he doesn't look like Casey Jones to me.
Right.
You know, it's like, I grew up watching TMNT, and it's just, that's not Casey
Jones.
Well,
Megan Fox is an April O'Neil.
Oh, that's for damn sure. But, yeah.
Yeah, but...
I'm a little bit more excited about this TMNT than the last one, because the last one
totally
sucked.
The last one wasn't
sucked.
Very good, no.
Yeah, it was not good at all.
But hopefully this one will be better. It looks fine. I mean, it's cool that they're introducing some more characters. So we'll see how it goes. Out of the three trailers we talked about, which one do you like the most? This one or Apocalypse? Obviously, Tarzan is last on the list here.
Yeah. It's kind of a hard question. I want to say I'm more excited about TMNT than X-Men.
Yeah, I think I'd have to say that too. Overall, so
I mean, I'll definitely go see two out of these three movies. But...
yeah, we'll end up seeing two of them. So that's all we have for news for you guys. So now we're gonna move on to our shows.
Yeah.
So we're gonna start with Supergirl. Episode 7 or 8 or something. It doesn't say. I think it's episode 7. Yeah, this is 7 for sure. This is episode 7. Right. Human for a Day. Kara and her friends are forced to rely on their inner strength and courage when an earthquake strikes National City, while Alex's mistrust of Hank reaches its breaking point when the earthquake traps them in the DEO. Guys, I know we already spoiler warning, but Martian Manhunter.
I mean, dude.
So,
this episode was so good.
Yeah, this episode was very, very, very
so
good. So good.
No, seriously, though, it was super, super, super good.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said on Twitter, I forgot exactly what I said, but...
You said all aboard the hype train.
All aboard the hype train, hashtag Supergirl, has finally found its footing.
Yeah.
Or continues to find its footing, something
who,
like that.
Who knows? All we
who knows
is
what
that...
this guy says.
All I know I is sure that this don't. Episode was very strong, you know, and it really built upon... the things that we know of Superman and Supergirl and things like that,
uh-huh.
And that is very exciting.
Yeah, dude, it was just such a good episode. I mean, I can't even stress to you guys enough how good this episode really, really was.
Yeah, Jem was good as a villain, kind of.
Yeah.
And Supergirl without her powers is still a hero, and that's important.
Yep, she had to figure out, you know, who she really is, you know. And every superhero show will always have this one episode mm-hmm. where they lose their power for a day or a couple days, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it was to be expected, but didn't expect to be this good.
Yeah, and Maxwell Lord continued to be a ginormous douche face.
Yes, the douche stinker.
So there's that. And then we got Martian Manhunter. Which was awesome. That was like
there's so much more to this episode, though. Like,
there, oh,
so
there
many
was.
Layers,
there was,
dude.
Yeah.
Like, finally, Wynn says something to Kara about Jimmy.
Yeah.
And it's like, you do know he has a girlfriend, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, and that's like a big thing, you know, especially in, like, today's age of, like, how, like, us millennials kind of conduct ourselves in the dating world. And, you know, it's just... this is like an actual issue that they kind of like went over, and it's like, oh, that's interesting. I thought that was pretty clever, and it's like, well, maybe she does need to be brought down a notch.
There's that, and there's also the fact that Wynn should actually just tell her how he feels too.
Well, I mean, he has, and like,
yeah, but
you know,
he should.
I mean, he kissed her and he asked her on a date before. Like, what? Like, how can she not know? Like, are you serious?
I think she probably knows, but like, you know, like it's hard sometimes, like. Unless you specifically say, like, I really like you and I want to date you. Like, I know that sounds weird and creepy, but some people just don't get the message. Scott's giving me the eyes rolled in his head look. You know how it is, though.
Yeah, I mean, I understand, but it's still, dude, it's like, you've gone that far. It's like, dude, really? 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 Like, she knew, like...
It's hard for her to see him, because all she sees is black. Just kidding, that's like a racist. All she sees is Jimmy, so that's like, it's, she's not even paying attention to him right now.
Goddamn racist. Fucking white people, I swear to God. Oh man. No, but seriously, Kara hit just like a totally another level on in this episode. With the very moving speech she gave to that armed robber, mm-hmm. knowing damn well she could be killed.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I mean, that was like one of my likes in this episode. Is just all the different great speech, and I didn't necessarily list that specifically, but it's just all the great dialogue with like the very moving speeches mm-hmm. with her and Cat Grant.
Cat Grant
always
great.
Seeming to have her episodes now. Like once an episode, she's saying something like super moving to me. I'm just like, oh. So, I liked it. I liked this episode a lot.
Yeah. So, what did you think of the Martian Manhunter reveal? Did you see it coming?
Yeah, I definitely seen it coming. There was no other direction that they can really go with that. I mean, they're just at a point where it's like, well, it's like, how did he take that alien out? It's like, really?
Mm-hmm.
There's no other way. Like, he can't get around it at this point. And the trust is so far gone. He had to give her an explanation.
Did you see it coming? Did you see that he was Martian Manhunter before this episode?
Yeah. I knew it all along.
All along.
All along.
I didn't.
Really? Who did you think he was?
I didn't think he was anyone. I didn't care. I just didn't care. Like, I wasn't interested enough to form an opinion on who he was prior to this episode.
We've never talked about that before?
Mm-mm.
That's interesting.
Never talked about it.
Yeah, maybe because the show was so bad through, like, the first four episodes or something like that, and it's just super good now.
Yeah.
Super good.
But, yeah, I mean, it's like, to me, I guess it was a better reveal because I didn't see it coming necessarily. But, like, as soon as, like, throughout the episode, you could tell, like, there's something different about him, obviously. And if you already kind of, like, suspected who he was, then obviously you know what's different. Like, for me, I was just like, alright, well, there's something different. And then, like,
well, obviously, he has glowing fucking eyes.
Well, I knew that, but I wasn't thinking, oh, his eyes are glowing like he's Martian Manhunter. I was thinking, oh, maybe he's a robot or something, or, like, you know, like, I thought, like, initially that, like, when his eyes were glowing, oh, maybe he's the Red Tornado or something, you know?
Huh?
Well, you never know.
Come on, Brew.
You never know.
No, you had to have known.
You never
maybe know. It's because I've watched Smallville, and it's kind of like a similar situation.
Probably. Yeah, I haven't seen Smallville like that, so...
Because you're not cool, bro.
To me, I didn't expect it, and I thought it was a great reveal. It, like, when he started, like, talking and, like, starting to reveal himself, like, I knew right away who he was. But before that, I hadn't given it much thought.
Maybe I'm just the greatest detective in the world.
Maybe.
Yeah. I'm the world's greatest detective!
I did call Harrison Wells Reverse Flash, though.
You did.
Did, but I cared more about that. I don't know. I mean, I don't know why I didn't see that earlier, and I don't know why
that's
we didn't
so,
talk about it earlier.
So surprising. It really is.
I think I just, like, after, like, rewatching the first episode, how, like, we thought it was good the first time, and then how bad it was the second time, I was just like, I didn't expect him to do anything cool like this. I just thought they were just gonna keep doing shit stuff, you know?
Interesting. Like, so did you just idly sit by and just, like, watch episodes but not ever really pay attention?
Oh, I paid attention, but it's, like, I just, like, I paid attention to the story more and, like, what's going on with Kara than I did pay attention to Hank Henshaw and why his eyes are glowing. I was just like, oh, okay, that's creepy, but whatever.
Interesting observations you make.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, that's Martian Manhunter.
Yeah.
I was wondering, too, I wonder if he's ever going to reveal himself, though. Because it took, in Smallville, it took him having to save Clark in order for him to ever reveal himself, because I think Clark was going to die.
That was an awesome reveal, though, when he, like, turned around and started flying and shit.
Huh?
In Supergirl.
Oh, and Supergirl. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Started like rising up. He's like,
what'd you think about? I wouldn't go that far, bud. But like, what'd you think of it? Like, did you like how Martian Manhunter looked?
Yeah, I thought he looked good. I thought he looked like he had the look of, I don't know if it was like the Justice League Unlimited cartoon more, or if he looked more like the Martian Manhunter in like the DC Cinematic Universe, or the Cartoon Universe, whatever. DC TV Universe.
Interesting.
I don't know. But I thought he looked pretty good.
I liked it a lot. I thought it was pretty spot on. Let us know what you guys think. You can reach us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, or our website under the forum section. Let us know what you guys thought about Martian Manhunter. Did you guys see him coming? Who else did you think it could have been? And were you pleased with how it turned out?
Yeah. I thought it was very good. Great episode. So what would you rate this episode?
9.4.
I think I would give it a 9.2.
Sweet.
Yes. Sweet.
Totally awful.
So moving on then to The Flash.
The Flash. Episode something or another. Titled Running to Stand Still. Interesting title they have there. Weather Wizard returns to break Captain Cold and the Trickster out of Iron Heights. But Barry is determined to not let that happen. Aha. Meanwhile, Joe and Iris meet Wally West. Harrison Wells accepts to work with Zoom.
Yeah. So
what do you think?
I liked this episode quite a bit, but it wasn't better than last season's mid-season finale.
Not at all.
Captain Cold, of course, is great. Mark Hamill was exceptional as crazy old trickster there. Barry and Iris had a lot of chemistry together throughout this episode. Cisco was very spot on with how annoying and painful Caitlin and Jay talking was. Like, he specifically said something about it. And then just like the overall acting in the show is so far beyond anything else going on right now. So those were all my enjoyable things.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed most of it. Mm-hmm. I did not enjoy Patty in this episode.
You did not like Patty.
No, and like, I didn't like how I felt like there was some like weird like innuendo between like Barry and Iris. I was like,
I felt like, I don't know, like, I didn't get like a romantic vibe between them, but like more like that, like how they are like pretty much brother and sister, you know?
I don't know, like, I didn't really get that vibe. Like, I don't know, I thought it was like useless that the fact that they're like, you know, it's like how Barry was acting when he was like really secretly jealous of Eddie, and like how he's just like always tell Iris, I'm so happy for you, Iris.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why did Iris feel the need to say it to him?
Like, right.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I want them to end up together for sure, but it's like right now, let's see what happens with Patty and let that take its course for a little bit. And then eventually, we'll meet up with Iris and Barry later down the road, obviously.
Right. I mean, and I think they're already planting the seeds for that relationship to fail. Like, it's been great, but, you know, inevitably, Barry knows that Patty's been hiding things from him, and she still hasn't shared with him, you know? Like, she says she's ready to, but, like...
But how could he get upset when he's the Flash and he's never told her?
I think he will tell her. But I think that's maybe a little more important to keeping her safe than.
But you can't really judge somebody for having secrets when you have like
judging her in any respect. All I'm saying is that Barry might take it personally that she doesn't want to share things with him.
No, I'm not like and like I wasn't like saying that you're judging her. I'm just saying like, Barry as a character shouldn't be able to judge her.
Right.
But like when he has
inevitably we've gone through four seasons of Arrow where this happens all the time. So it's
The Flash is a different
beast. Flash is different. And I think it's funny. I think it's interesting to mention how as the Flash came, the quality of Arrow has greatly declined. And like I think I read somewhere that a lot of the writers left Arrow to work on the Flash
because it's so much better.
Yeah. Or I mean, and that might just be why it's better as well, so.
Yeah. I mean, that really wouldn't be all that surprising.
So, you just didn't like Patty's kind of vendetta, personally?
Yeah, like, she's recklessness. Like, no, yeah, it's really her recklessness and, like, her resistance to accept anybody's helps. It just seems like it fell into the trap of, like, what they do over an Arrow.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's just the writing on female characters is just... It's a slippery slope, but it's like I don't feel like they need to do these like dramatic things with them, and a lot of TV shows do it, and every once in a while The Flash does it, and they don't do it often, and they usually, you know, correctly write a female character, but, you know, I feel like they slipped up, but hey, it's still a great episode, don't get me wrong. So what do you think about Harrison Wells agreeing to work with Zoom? Do you think he had any other option? Do you think he just like...
I don't think he had any other good option. Like, he obviously had other options.
Do you think he chose the correct option for his circumstances?
I think he did what anybody would do in his position. But I don't think... I mean, I guess you can't say anybody, but he did what he would do. The same? Yeah. What?
Do you think it's going to work out the same kind of way? Like, do you think it would have been different if, like, if he just would have went to Barry? Do you think Barry would have been a little bit more ready for Zoom this time around?
Yeah, I wonder if Harrison will say anything to Barry about it. I doubt it, honestly. And it's really just going to be how it was last season, where that's what he was doing. Harrison Wells was making Barry better to help him, not help Barry. And that's kind of what he's doing now, is he's making Barry better to help Zoom, not to help Barry.
Do you think this is the last season that we'll probably see Tom on?
Tom Calvin? I don't think it is the last we'll see of him.
I mean, what else could he really kind of offer? Because he's like kind of almost fallen into the same exact role. And Barry will see through it this time, I think. Like, even though it's like he trusts him, I definitely think that he does. Like, he won't make the same mistake of, you know, just blindly following people anymore.
Yeah, and I think that he'll see. Like, I think this is a very dangerous plan for these villains to have. Like, I understood it with Reverse Flash because it's like he needed Barry to get him back, essentially, to his timeline.
Mm-hmm.
But with Zoom, it's like if Harrison Wells succeeds, Barry could easily be better than you. Like, the payoff is high, but the risk is higher, I think. Yeah. Like, you could just take him out now. Like, yeah. You know, to me, like, it's a very dangerous game to play, what Zoom is doing. So, I'd like to see what happens, but I think Harrison Wells is doing the right thing by his daughter, at least.
Yeah. Do you think Barry will understand? Do you think he'll forgive him? Or do you think he'll just shut him out?
I don't know. I don't know, because Barry is like, he's actually a very forgiving person, you know? And like, you saw a little bit of him, like, he needed to get something out this episode and kind of got it out towards Wells, but not where he could hear him, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like, I think he'll take it very personally, and I don't think he will necessarily forgive him, honestly.
Really? That's interesting. So, what would you grade this episode?
I think it was great. I liked Weather Wizard. I liked like the trio kind of.
Yeah.
But I also Wentworth Miller. Come on, he's on a different level. And I love Joe. We got Wally West finally. Even though it's kind of, what'd you think of that like interaction?
I did forget to mention that. I mean, all the reactions were like totally understandable. You know, my thing is, so how did Wally know? Are we assuming that Francine went and told him?
I think that it she is, probably I mean, did. Okay.
It's just, I don't know, like, that was, like, because...
Or maybe Iris reached out to him or something.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows?
But...
So, do you think this will be the same Wally West, though, like, that we know and love from the comic books? Do you think he'll become a speedster eventually? I mean,
well, I think he'll become a speedster, but I think he'll be different, too, because he's already much older than Wally West was. But I wonder if there will be some kind of story where Barry ends up getting killed and he takes his place as or, Flash like that.
Or, so... This is something I've always wanted to talk about, too, is the Speed Force.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we kind of talked about it. It's like how interesting it is and so many unknown variables in the Speed Force, so to speak. Do you think there is a storyline where Wally gets his powers,
mm-hmm.
Barry attempts to use the Speed Force and gets trapped in it because... That's something that's very easily done. Like, the fact that they'd, like, let Barry kind of just navigate the Speed Force his first time, like, actively using it,
mm-hmm.
was, like, a little strange to me. Like, I didn't really think about it till like, lately, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're not careful and it's, like, you're not concentrated on where you're going, you get lost in the Speed Force and you'll be trapped there for, like...
Right.
Because there was a point where they thought Wally West was dead because he got trapped in the Speed Force.
And Barry's gotten trapped in it, too.
Yeah.
Before New 52 and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And so it's like, we saw glimpses of it, too, when he first went through. We saw, like, Killer Frost, we saw the Flash Museum and things like that. And that's all part of how easy you can get distracted in the Speed Force, get lost, change directions, get your mind confused, and just, you end up keep going and going and going and going.
Yeah. So, do you think Wally West will become the hero that we want him to become?
I think he'll definitely become a hero. I think he'll build a relationship with Barry, like, I would hope he does, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's what is going to be the powerful part about Wally West, is the relationship he builds with Barry, maybe more so than with Joe and Iris.
Yeah. Like, undoubtedly, like, the greatest duo in comic history.
Yeah, I mean...
I mean, Jesus, just like, what, like, historic partnership that is, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, Wally West, Barry Allen. What more is there to talk about? Like, this episode built so much hype that it's unreal. Like, I wonder how long do you predict that before they give him his powers? And how do you think he'll get his powers?
I think he probably already has them.
Do you think he has them already? Very interesting. Do you think he was in the same kind of way Barry got him? Or, like, how do you think he got him?
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure, like, my prediction is that he would be affected by the particle accelerator.
Maybe he was running on a treadmill when the particle accelerator went off, and then he got super fast.
And he was like, bop, 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 bop. I think it's possible.
Hey, that's a pretty good prediction, though. Let's be honest. Hey, that's pretty realistic.
That could be.
He's getting his gym flow on.
I mean, the next episode synopsis says Wally reveals a dark secret to Iris. So maybe that's his dark secret.
Dark secret. I don't know if that's a dark secret, though.
Maybe
he's Zoom.
Dun, dun, dun.
Wouldn't that be some crazy shit?
Ain't that some shit?
No, I don't know who the fuck Zoom is.
I don't think he's Zoom.
No, I don't think that either, guys. I just want to be clear on that.
All right. What would you grade this episode?
This one's a hard one to gauge. 9.6. So.
9.6? You liked it better than Supergirl this week?
No. But I'm going to give it a higher grade.
Because it's the Flash, right?
Nah, actually, I'll knock it off down to 9.4. I'll grade them the same. I did like Supergirl more, but I think for what the Flash is setting up,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, the Wally West potentials and stuff like that, I think it just deserves such a high grade for it.
Yeah, I think I'd give it the same, too. I'd give it a 9.2. So.
And I really think it's just, it comes down to... Patty's fit in that episode is the only reason I can't give it a higher grade, really. That's about it.
Mm-hmm. All right, moving on to Arrow. Season 4, Episode 9, Dark Waters. Oliver moves against Hive, Malcolm goes to see Thea, leaving her with a warning, and Damian Dark retaliates at Oliver's holiday party.
What? What'd you think?
Honestly, I have no idea what to think about this episode.
Was all over the place.
My brain tells me the episode was not a bad episode. I just don't know how I personally feel about this episode.
So you're conflicted.
I'm conflicted because...
Well, I'm interested to know what you graded it, but I guess we'll have to wait to find that out.
Yeah. So, like, there were a lot of annoying parts to me about this episode. I feel like it was conflicted. I feel like they used this opportunity to make it apparent that nobody needs to be protected. Laurel doesn't need her dad's protection. Felicity doesn't need Oliver's protection. Nobody needs anybody's protection. Thea doesn't need Malcolm's protection. But that's not what this episode is about. This episode is clearly about Oliver calling out Damian Dark.
So what'd you think about that move? Do you think that was like a ballsy move? Like,
I think that it's a good move. I think where it's stupid is when Oliver clearly tells him it's a bad idea to throw a party and just call attention to ourselves, and they're like, nah, it'll be fine.
Because remember, like, guys, we don't need your protection.
Like, obviously, this is a great decision, because we just did the most dangerous and stupid thing you could do, so now, let's just throw a party and make it obvious. Like,
let's have a good time.
To me, like, it's not living... There's a difference between living in fear and being stupid. You know, it's like,
yeah,
it's just like if ISIS said, we're going to bomb Sacramento on this day, and we said, we should just stay. We should just stay because fuck it. Yeah. I feel like that's exactly their plan in this episode.
Yeah.
So.
I think my thing is it doesn't seem like Oliver had much of a plan afterwards.
Yeah,
that was my biggest qualm with it, is the fact that it's like, okay, it was a great strategical move, but he had no plans on how to keep people safe after. It's like, why would you go throw this Christmas party? Seriously, dude, like, you're just gonna listen to people? Like, you are their leader.
And like, he kept saying, like, I love Damian Dark for this, because Oliver kept saying, we got a deal. And Damian Dark never agreed to any deal. And he's like, oh, and remember, I'm a bad guy. It's like, yes, he's a fucking bad guy, Oliver. You really expected him to take you and let your friends go?
Yeah. Damian Dark was pretty exceptional in this episode. Yeah. I liked him a lot.
I liked him a lot.
I didn't like Malcolm too much in this episode.
I quite liked Malcolm in this episode. I thought he was a very interesting Green Arrow.
I thought he was a shit Green Arrow.
Did you?
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't like him too much in this one. But that's my opinion, I guess. Do you think Felicity's really dead?
No. I think we kind of talked about this a little bit already. It's just like, it doesn't really line up to me. I think that it'd be easy to kill Felicity. And that, you know, I don't think they did a good job of endearing her to us before they killed her. But I don't think that she's dead. You know, if you look at this episode takes place around Christmas. If you look at The Flash, it took place around Hanukkah. And when Barry shows up at the grave with Oliver, he says, oh, I'm sorry, I couldn't make it. I was fighting Zoom.
Yeah.
Well, we know Barry wasn't fighting Zoom at Christmas time.
Correct.
I think it's the opposite. I think The Flash was at Christmas and this was during Hanukkah.
Yeah.
So,
but I wasn't going to correct you.
Yeah. But yeah, so clearly he wasn't fighting Zoom at that time. He was, in fact, doing other things. And I think if he showed up and it was Felicity, he would be much more heartbroken. Because he had a personal connection with Felicity beyond just a friendship, really. I think he would have expressed that. But
let's be honest, though. In that, like, perspective, can you really just stop the good fight because somebody died, you know what I mean?
No, I don't think he would have stopped fighting Zoom because of it. I think when he showed up to talk to Oliver, he would have been in tears or something, though. But, you know, that being said, I don't know what they're doing. They could just be like, oh, well, Felicity is dead, you know? But it seems like they're trying to set it up too much.
Yeah, like, I think I mean, I think our predictions are right. We both think it's a Diggle.
Yeah.
I mean, because...
I think Andy's going to be the one who kills him.
You think so?
Yeah.
What do you think Oliver will do to him?
I don't know what Oliver will do to him.
Do you think Andy will kill himself after killing him?
I think Andy will probably... Like, it might be, like, during an escape or something, and Andy will try to go back to Damien or whatever. But...
Or who do you think killed... I don't know, man. It's hard.
I don't know. But if you... let's talk about the good things that came out of this episode, honestly. Like, the Damien Dark stuff was great.
Yeah.
Oliver...
Was exceptional to me.
He was good. Genesis, it looks like we're going to tear down Star City to make a biodome kind of society.
I don't know. That was kind of confusing. I don't know what their plans for that is, really. I was like, interesting.
Yeah, it was a little weird. They didn't really explain it too well. But we do know that it takes a lot to kill Damien Dark, apparently.
Apparently.
But yeah, other than that, it's like, what'd you think of Thea? What'd you think of Laurel?
Laurel was annoying. Thea was...
I thought it was so funny. When he was like, my baby girl. I was like thinking about you.
My baby girl. They should have cast me as Captain Lance.
I was just protecting my baby girl. Felicity. What did you think of Felicity in this episode?
I think she was fine. I didn't really mind her. I thought her mom was mega annoying. I thought it was very, very, very annoying that she revealed that Oliver was going to propose to her. I mean, that's really
I don't like her
up.
Mom at all.
Like, that was super fucked up to me. Like, I was really pissed off watching it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was just like, that's just not okay.
Yeah. So, we found out also that Felicity's Jewish. I don't think we knew that before.
Yeah, it didn't really play any relevance.
They used it as a beat so that she can say, instead of a Christmas party, it's a holiday party, and then later when she's talking to Oliver, and she's, like, in the jail cell, pretty much, and she's, like, said, oh, at your Christmas party, and he corrected her to say holiday party. It was pretty much a two-beat, you know, where you subvert your expectations of the audience and stuff.
Yeah.
But...
It was kind of whatever to me.
Yeah, yeah. That, you know, like, the first time I heard it, like, and she's, like, I was like, oh, they just made this so that Felicity could correct her, and it would annoy me. But then when, like, I rewatched it again, and Oliver corrected her later, I was like, oh, okay. Like, they just use that as a setup for this.
Yeah.
And then they never really show you how they get from place to place before. And in this episode, they got in a limo. And obviously, that didn't turn out great. But to me, like, I guess maybe they could have been taking a limo the whole time. It's kind of extra textual. They don't really give you that information. So you kind of have to backfill it in your mind.
My thing is wouldn't you think that Oliver Queen's limo would be bulletproof?
My thing is that Oliver Queen protected Felicity, did not get hit while he was on top of her. The driver got hit multiple times. Oliver climbed up into the front seat and did not get hit by one bullet. Felicity stayed exactly where she was and got hit. I'm just like, it's possible. It's possible. But it's just like,
I mean, they're stray bullets. They don't know where they're shooting inside or whatever. That didn't really bother me too much. That was kind of whatever.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, overall, the episode wasn't awful, but to me it wasn't anywhere near last season's mid-season finale where we ended with Oliver getting stabbed by Ra's al Ghul.
Pretty weak mid-season right there.
Yeah.
All things considering.
Yeah, so what would you grade this episode?
I think it deserves an 8.0 at least.
Yeah, I think I'd just give it an 8.2, honestly. Like, I think it wasn't I wasn't bad by any stretch. It just, I'm conflicted on how to feel about it. I think the episode was good. I just don't know how I personally feel about it.
Yeah, so. I can understand that for sure. I don't know.
All right.
So I think 8.0, 8.2, that's in the books.
That's in the books.
Boom, we got it in the books.
Yeah, this stuff will all be on. This will all be updated on the website for you guys to see. So,
yes.
All right.
So, We will move on to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. now.
Cool.
Season 3, Episode 10, Mavith, I think. That's how you say it.
I think it's Mavith.
Mavith?
I don't
Mavith?
Know.
I'm going with Mavith.
All right. Mavith you. Mavith you over there.
All right, so S.H.I.E.L.D. battles Hydra head-to-head, which sees Coulson and Fitz take the ultimate risk while Daisy and the Inhumans try to keep Hydra at bay.
Okay, all I'm saying is head-to-head doesn't seem the best way to take on Hydra, because if you break off their head, two more will rise, and then you have two against one.
But in this case, Hydra only has one head.
Okay.
So they could go literally head-to-head.
Okay.
Mac versus that old guy, I don't remember his name.
Gideon. Gordon. Gideon.
I don't think it was Gideon.
Was
it Gideon?
Fuck. What was his
name? It was Gideon Malik.
Yeah, Gideon Malik, yeah.
Malik. So, Mac versus Malik. Ooh, interesting.
He's a buff nigga. Oh, sorry, son. sorry about that, guys. I'm not
what
racist.
What you apologizing for?
Anyway, this was a very good episode.
Yeah, racist.
I'm sorry.
No. This was a great episode, guys.
Yeah.
I loved everything about this episode.
Yeah,
I thought it was probably the strongest of the episodes this week.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
So poor Willie is dead.
Poor little Willie.
Yes.
Willie.
Willie. So that was
William.
The thing that part the importance of Will being dead is that we know that this leader of Hydra can go from one body to another. And that leads to the big reveal of now Ward is the big bad guy.
See, here was the thing that bothered me. So William is like presumably 100 yards away from where what's his name died? Ward. Where Ward died. When Coulson and Fitz jumped into that portal, it was Fitz's analysis that the portal was going to close very soon.
Mm-hmm.
That Coulson was actually risking them being trapped there.
Mm-hmm.
How did they have time for Mavith to transfer bodies, get up, and run like 200 yards?
Well, I think it's a snake in him or something, or like you saw like when Will died, and like I think it. I don't know, maybe...
He fucking scorpioned him? Get over here!
I don't know.
Coulson
was trying to drag his body back or something, and like...
No, he left him, like, right there. He even, like, took off his hand and threw it on the ground to, like, mark, like, this is where I killed you, bitch.
Like, he did do that, yes.
He basically marked his territory and, like, whipped out his dick and peed on him.
Pretty much pissed all over Ward.
I thought that's for sure what he was gonna do. I was... surprise, I didn't think Coulson was like that much of a badass. Like, that was pretty cool. I don't know, it just like didn't make sense to me, like how he could transfer bodies,
yeah,
arise and apparently run like 200
I was
in,
afraid
like,
that
1.1 seconds flat.
I was afraid that like the snake thing was gonna like get Coulson before he got through,
dude. Yeah, that's what I thought too.
I was real surprised to see Ward, but I think it's a good play. I just, you know, like the details need to be kinked out here.
Yeah.
But
I think it would have been better to see like Coulson and Fitz get through the portal and then like watch it happen. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. In my mind, like, kind of just analyzing that, I'm just like, how is that possible?
Yeah. it's very very difficult. Like, they don't give you much to go by there, so you have to kind of just.
I mean, sure, you just kind of accept it happened. It is kind of like a point. It's like, whatever, you know?
But right.
At the same time, I'm like, meh.
Yeah.
Is it just me, or do they seem like they're, like, making Daisy weaker in a way?
I don't know. I think she's just weaker around the monolith for some reason. But, oh, I thought, I think his name is John. Like, he got shot and, like, melted the bullets. That was kind of cool.
Yeah, he was like, whoo!
I'm bulletproof. He was having a good old time trying to help. Like, I think it's awesome, like, how, you know, how he was in episode 1 to now, where he's just, like, kind of, like, full of life. He has a new purpose, you know?
Yep, and now you see, like, the new Warriors finally formed, like, forcibly formed, but mm-hmm. formed nonetheless. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. Simmons let out Lash.
Yeah.
And he killed all the other Inhumans that were trapped with him, but helped Simmons, so I guess there are pros and cons there. Yeah. I don't think you can deal with Lash now that you know it's Andrew, right?
Yeah. I just don't think it was, like, the greatest move. Like, I just didn't see it. I'm just like, you know, sometimes, like, you can be like, oh, that makes sense, you know?
Mm-hmm.
With Andrew, I'm just like, it just never made sense to me. I'm just like, really? Andrew?
Yeah, and it's like...
Andrew!
I'm not totally clear on his motivation for killing other Inhumans.
Yeah, me neither. Like, it's like, just the whole aspect of Lash, it's like... Before you knew it was Andrew, and before you knew he was just killing him just to kill him, I guess. It's like, you thought there was some sort of motivation, and, like, you know, but that's kind of out the window, and yeah, it's like, well, now it's like, what the, like, hell was he doing?
His explanation was like, well, some can be dangerous. It's like, yeah, you. You can be dangerous. Fucking yeah. Burn out your own heart, you jackass.
What do you think of Mac taking charge in this episode?
I think he did a good job, but I don't, like... It's like the thing about, like, S.H.I.E.L.D. is, like, all their leaders are like, you're going to do what I want, and I'm going to tell you what to do, and you're going to do it, and you're going to ask questions, and my motivation is going to be completely secret. It's like, why do they do this? Why can't you just
That's how, like, government-type organizations are kind of built. There's a reason there's a chain of command, and you just don't question your commanding officer,
mm-hmm.
which apparently they're not very good at doing, because, you know, Daisy and all them, they're like, what are you doing this for?
Yeah.
Like, well, he has a reason. Mm-hmm. Just trust him.
Yeah.
But, you know, Mac put his foot down. And he's like, that's an order. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. he's like, we're doing this. Like, no, you know.
And I think the only reason he really did that is because May kicked his ass, like, into doing that, like, last week. Like, she didn't literally kick his ass, but she pretty much said, like, you need to fucking step up. You're in charge now, you know?
Yeah.
People, I mean, we're all relying on you.
Yeah, know? Exactly. You know?
So.
Yeah. What would you grade this episode?
I think I'd give it, like, a 9.6.
I agree with that. I agree with that rating for sure. I thought it was a great episode, and like I said, I thought it was the best episode of the week. Yeah. 9.6 in the books, guys.
Yeah, and you can find all of our grades on all of these shows on our website at Nerdy Boys Reviews. You just go to our homepage. You can click on the link there.
Yeah.
Also, you can check out our buy list up every week, updated, certified.
you can check out our articles.
Yep. Scott's going to be having an article coming out soon.
Yep.
Don't know when yet, but it'll be there one day.
One day.
And then...
Kind of hit some writer's block. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, it happens to everybody. I think that's pretty much it, really.
Yeah.
I just started a new podcast where I talk about politics. I'm sure I'll have Scott on for episodes here and there, because I'm sure he'll want to talk about things.
Yeah.
It's called Prioritizing Politics. You can find that on the iTunes music store and all that stuff. So, if you want.
Sweet! Yeah.
But, please check out our Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, at Nerdy Boys Reviews. All of our exciting things are all around everywhere, so.
All day, every day.
Mm-hmm.
We straight getting it. We grinding.
but, yeah, once again, like, if you guys have any suggestions, feedback, anything for us, go ahead and send it our way. If you have time and you enjoy what we do here at Nerdy Boys Reviews, please give us a review on iTunes. That helps us a lot. That's how new people can find our podcast, so.
Also, make sure that you share with your friends and families through social media. It helps us get discovered. We really appreciate it, guys.
Yes.
And no matter what, we always appreciate our listeners, so thanks for listening.
Yes, and so next week we'll be talking about Supergirl's mid-season finale and Star Wars, maybe.
Maybe
Star Wars comes out this week, so we'll either talk about it this week or we'll wait a week.
Yes.
But I think we're almost positively going to talk about the first episode of Jessica Jones next week.
Oh, yeah. We're going to be doing week-by-week episodes, even though all of the episodes have been revealed.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just be doing week-by-week breakdowns on Jessica Jones, you know, our normal type of reviews.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we we have Star Wars, guys. Star Wars comes out in 1 week. Do, 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 do. Jesus. That was a loud spike right there.
That was a loud one. We're also looking into new equipment and stuff, guys.
Yeah.
So that's all exciting stuff as well. So, that's going to wrap us up, I think.
Yep.
So, you know, I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
And you know, I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And as always, stay nerdy, boys!